Check out the merch, Off and Beat with Clint Nelson. Yes, that is some merch that you cannot buy yet because I've not created merch yet. But I do have one piece of hat you can buy for $80. yeah. You know, it's always weird when you see these merch lines, these YouTubers, these public figures, where it's like, I don't know, you know, maybe one day I'll be one of those people that default to selling merch. I just don't personally have the appeal to ever sell jackets, pants, or, you know, pump covers. I would have no problem doing a sponsorship with, like, a company that sells a product. But, like, making my own merch, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. You're making a living in a sense, but that's not really giving back. Like, to be honest, I think clothing is one of the most, like, meaningless, engageful things that just kind of bring money in, if that makes sense. Like, to me, when you really think about what our obsession with businesses and supporting businesses is, so I'm going to have a shirt, a hat, a product, and it's going to be, that's my way of something that's very occasional in my life. Like, that's supposed to be the impact it gives me is a shirt. I don't know. There's nothing really meaningful about it. Not to get too sappy here. Sappy pappy. But yeah. You know, I will say, you know, having the time to really get back in the listen to the podcast, it's really been amazing. Yeah, I really enjoy just enjoying a fruitful, eventful conversation. Or, like, I was listening to the Rich Roll podcast. Maybe most of y'all may know who he is. He's a pretty popular figure. He's more of like in the, I don't want to say self-help guru stuff. It's more of like very, like, you know, society, culture, general health and wellness type of stuff. But it's not really like about how many, you know, probiotics are you getting your diet. It's more about your general well-being as a person. But he's like an entrepreneur. He's a, like, I think he used to be a triathlon runner type of thing. He's very, you know, just an avid entrepreneur. You know, like, you listen to someone and it's like, man, you know, he just speaks with the way the audio is. It just feels like he comes from such a peaceful point in his life. That's something I crave. You know, I think that's the appeal when we listen to certain people or watch certain people. There's just an appeal, whether it's an illusion or not, but just like the crispness they speak about and what they speak about and the calmness. It's like, man, you know, we already visualize, like, I know how this person lives. I know where they live. I know what type of house. I know, like, what part of California they live. Like, you kind of tell a lot just by listening to someone, and you feel that. But he was, he did an episode, I think it dropped yesterday or something. He did one with the author named Mark Manson, and he's the one who has one of the best selling books in the past decade, maybe the best selling book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, right? And I'll be honest, I think I listened to a part of an audio a few months ago, and I just haven't gone around, but, you know, I know about the book. I remember I had a friend that had the book, right? And he had it in his room one day when we were over there, you know, while I was watching him play video games. That's how, you know, it's a down part of my life. I'm watching another grown man play video games so we could freestyle. good times, though. Best times of my life. And he had this book, and he wasn't much of a reader, but there was some, and I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, have you read this? He's like, yeah, I have. And he's like, and I noticed, you know, it didn't hit me then, but I noticed over time, like, looking back, there was a lot of things that changed with him in a good way. There was a lot of things he cared less about in a good way, because he used to be someone that cared way too much about certain things. And I noticed over time, he, and it almost kind of distanced our relationship. Not that it was towards me, but sometimes to make drastic change, it has to fester into every aspect of your life, even if it's aspects that aren't really the big issues, but it's kind of a, it's just kind of, what is it called, a, you know, unintended target of your goal. It's just kind of what comes with the territory. It's like, hey, you're not really the issue, but I have to distance myself from everything to reevaluate and to really just focus on what matters. And I remember seeing that, and now the listen to the author, just kind of getting in the mind of like these self-help people and stuff, and it's very insightful that what I noticed in him and what these gurus and these authors about self-wellness and stuff, I noticed what the biggest change with him was, there was a much more grasp of reality, an acceptance of yourself. And I think sometimes we worry so much about the things that are perceived wrong, things we get in our own head about, things that someone may have alluded to one time in a half-joking manner, but it always sits with you because you feel like there's some deeper truth to it. And with my friend, I truly do feel like that book resonated with him. And I haven't kept up with him, but I'm sure it's impacted him in a great way. I guess the whole point of all that was, it's a great episode. Go check it out. Now that this is the review and other podcasts of a podcast within a podcast, like, that's not some Intermatrix shit. It's not some Truman Show shit. A show within a show. There used to be a podcast I listened to watch called Who Are These Podcasts? And it's this group of guys, well, kind of guys and girls. It's like a smaller channel, but, you know, had a sizable audience. And for some reason, I was into it. Because they would review and really just shit on and critique podcasts of smaller, middle, bigger kind of like lo-fi comedians that were desperate for attention or all this stuff. And they would just be like 20, 30 minute videos of them just watching a clip or a portion of a podcast and just shitting on it. Almost like a Red Bar. If anyone knows inside the podcast radio community, there's a guy named Mike Redbar. I know this is inside. Where he legitimately just shits on, you know, the Rogan sphere. He shits on the big podcast for the laziness, for the kind of just repetitive pumping out shit content. And it's all repetitive, just talking about themselves, how they become distant from reality. And then him himself, you know, it's, you know, I don't endorse everything. I'm not like the biggest fan of him particularly, but it does at least like make you, even when you're fans of some of these people, you listen, I still listen and watch a lot of the podcasts that these critique, but it does at least make you think of, man, you know, when you really think about what's going on here, it is just the same people recycling on each other's shows. And I think there's a weird, like, there's a critique from it where it shapes from reality and newness, and that's like, but I think also the reason why they keep doing it is because they look at the numbers, they see the engagement, and they see what works. Reality is when people are trapped in what they like, they don't really want too much different. And you know, stuff like the algorithm and shit like that always changes, but one thing that doesn't really change that much is people like what they like. People listen to the same shows every day, watch the same movie 20, 30 times because it just makes them feel comfortable. They know what they're getting. They know the state of mood it's going to put them in. So that's why having a consistency of what your style of type of show is probably important, which is something I could probably work on. But it is, it's just fascinating to me. Like, it'll be one podcast that has like 20 guests in a 3-month period. Another podcast will have 10 of those same guests, and they'll do each other's shows. And then they're doing each other's shows of all in this like cycle of 30 to 40 entertainers, comedians, podcasters, whatever. And all just doing each other's shows, kind of regurgitating the stuff. How you know you listen to too much of the same person is when you listen to them on a bunch of shows and they talk about the same stuff, but you still have an interest in it. And I think we always say that we want something new, we want something different, and we may for a period of time, but we always gravitate towards comfort. We like to listen to the same people. We like to listen to the same shows that we know the style we're getting. Because we seek like things that hit our dopamine. What we're seeking, our desires. And I think, I don't know, I just say all that to, I think we want more of the same when it comes to podcasts and shows that we listen to. And that's something that the older you get, we always want to try to act like that the older we want to experience new things. And we do for like a week. And next thing you know, you wake up, you're going through your morning routine, you're cooking, and then guess what? You see a new episode of We Might Be Drunk, and guess what? You're 20 minutes in, and you're like, damn, I missed this show. So, yeah. Today's drink, by the way, Blackberry Jewish Wine. What's the brand? I don't know. It's like Mershowitz. By the way, welcome to episode 318 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most important, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Recording this on January 7th, 2025. Yeah. I gotta say, you know, I don't like to complain about the algorithm. Like, here's the thing, right? I typically try to avoid doing topical stuff, particularly. I don't, you know, and people, you know, it's whatever. People say the shit they want. I don't have X amount of subscribers. Don't get X amount of views. But that's because I don't go into a lot of time. I don't just try to talk about what is trending all the time. Unless it actually interests me. I'm not someone that I'm going to go on Google Trends. I know the shit I could do. I could go on Google Trends, talk about some issue in Syria, talk about the war of this, the presidential this, the politics of this. I could talk about some big trending news stories about David Harbour being back on Raya because his wife, Lily Allen, went through an investigative thing and found out he was on Raya. And now he's been seen with like a 26-year-old Taiwan girl. Maybe she's a girl. Maybe she's not. I don't know. I've seen Stranger Things. All right. that was a random ass setup that kind of worked. I like this role in the newsroom, though. Small part, but effective. You know, ensemble. But yeah, it. You know, for me personally, I just, shit, what was I talking about? Stranger Things, blah, blah, blah. God damn it. Oh, Trent, like, I could sit here and just talk about the most topical stuff every time and post it within an hour or two or half a day and be in the algorithm, and that's fine. But I don't want to create a foundation of a fan base like that because then you're kind of resorted to that. But something happened to happen yesterday. Where the biggest fucking news of, like, in the media sports, where a channel that I've, like, watched from the beginning when it was when it was created from the ground up, when they created FS1, they brought, like, big stars from outside companies, poached them away, paid them. They had these big stars from Colin Cowherd, Skip, Shannon. I think at the time, like, I'm trying to think who else they brought over. Because there was other people they brought over that, like, Marcellus Wiley, he's a little bit later in the process. But those were the big ones, right? But they brought, like, a lot of talent from different places. And most are still, like, doing pretty good things, you know? I remember, like, Chris Carter, Nick, like, people that are pretty staples in the media game. I didn't just bring up random ass people. Like, they brought people and helped build it. And it's not, it's going to be hard to ever compete with ESPN. But for a period of time, I resorted to watching FS1 more than ESPN. Like, the shows were more entertaining. It just felt like the radio was better. And, like, ESPN definitely is veered towards a culture of just topical nonsense, pushing agendas. And not the agendas that you probably think I'm talking about. Like, honestly, it's more of not even political or stuff like that. It really is just, like, it seems uncomfortable and unnatural. It seems like they're putting less entertaining people on screen to sell something for the optics to look better, if that makes sense. But I know the shit that, like, if I do this, I'm going to get one of my higher viewed videos. And I was like, shit, you know what? Hey, maybe one of those days. Things happen to line. I have a lot to say. So I do a video about Joy Taylor, the whole FS1 scandals. Scandals, exposure, and all that shit, it works. Like, I know what works, I know what doesn't. You know, at least for the status of my channel right now. So, like, I know, like, I post, like, all right, you know what, this is going to get, you know, a few views, a few this and that. I fell asleep, woke back up. Literally, like, I know this shit's trending because it's all over my algorithm. It is the biggest news in sports everywhere you go. People are making comments and this thing, that and that. Anything that could relatively people could bring up, Emmanuel Acho, skip this, that, and the other. I know this should be recommended in the algorithm. And I'm like, you know what? I notice the impressions. That's how you know, right? Anyone that has YouTube, they know. You know the stuff when you talk about something that's trending, it's going to be push and impression. Now, whether people click on it, whether people stay and watch it, it's a whole nother thing. But initial impressions, you know, like, this shit is popping. Still popping today. So I'm like, okay, let me see something. So I type in my channel in the YouTube. So I almost never do this. I never, like, look up or whatever. I type in my channel in the YouTube search bar. This is how you know. You type in your name of your channel. It's even in the title, so it's even less of an excuse. It showed all my recent videos except the most recent one I posted, right? Okay. Sometimes that happens. It takes a while for X, Y, and Z to be shown, whatever. I type in the exact title, like the main keywords title and my name. Like, it should automatically show up there. Doesn't at all. It's showing other shows I've covered, other channels. I'm like, okay, so I'm being shadow banned with this video. You know, and that's stuff that I never complain about censorship and stuff like that. But you know when your video is being shadow banned for your level. I'm not talking about getting 10,000 views or nothing or 100,000. I thought, you know, like, this stuff can be searched for. And I didn't talk about anything that anyone else didn't talk about. So, it's not like my gripe. I will say, though, I didn't say or talk about anything that any of these other channels were talking about. I didn't talk about it in any more explicit manner than any of these channels other talked about. It's like, this is the type of stuff where it really does make it hard for your channel to grow. It's frustrating in a way. Because you're doing the right, you know, you're doing the title, you're doing this, that, and the other. But they can't, like, if people were to even know me enough to search for the channel, like, even if people are typing, like, there's no chance this shit is being viewed by people. Because they are shadow banning my video. Like, for most of the videos, you could type in my name and it pops up. For one of the most topical things I have done in quite some time. And I try to avoid topical things unless it's something I'm interested to. And I have opinions about. I try to keep them more general. Just more like stuff in my lane. But when stuff like this happens, I have thoughts about it. And to see that it is not in the search. I'm talking about my full name on top of the topic I talk about. Not there. Not there at all. I'm scrolling and scrolling. Not there. And I noticed that with my videos. And I noticed that because I know I'm pretty loose with it. I'm a free cannon. I don't edit them. I don't, you know, I don't censor myself. But it's like all these other channels are doing the same thing. And that's also a thing. It's like YouTube, I noticed with all these media platforms in general, they are like, I'm starting to like, I'm typically very resistant. I'm not going to sit here and be like, woe is me. You know, I'm not Drake doing an Irish freestyle. Like, woe is me. Everyone's shooting on my spot, even though I threatened to bomb your van in the album, you know? Even though I crushed your van in a music video, why are you shooting me up? But it's frustrating. Because I don't like to play the social media. I don't like to play the algorithm games. I like to stay true and authentic because I don't do it for the views particularly. Like, I want to gain that naturally in the way I want to gain it. But it is frustrating when you, quote unquote, are doing the right things to appease both ends. I didn't say anything absurd for them to flag it. Like, if it was that bad, I would rather you just like, hey, this video is being restricted, whatever. It says, nope, it's full. Everyone can see it. Don't say it's fully visible when I can't even type into the YouTube search bar. That's all I'm saying. All right. Like, you type in Joy Taylor exposed, Joy Taylor clapping. Like, people are using a lot more graphic terminology than me. Like, this is why it's really hard for smaller channels to grow, because you can't even search when we talk topical stuff. So it's just the same ones being pushed because they know it works, and that's fine. What works, works. Their shows are more quality and all that good stuff. I'm not complaining about that. But it's like, there really is, like, you are kind of in a, because what are you going to do? File complaint to YouTube about, hey, you can't find this video. Well, how come my shit's not in the search bar? Like, you know, it's just your key. Yeah, shut the fuck up. All right. But yeah, I'll stop complaining. You know, it's first world problems. It's not that big of a deal. But yeah. You know, I came across some earlier, and I haven't gone too much in depth in the video, but I did save it to watch later. But just a little teaser about some. It's a job recruiter. Like, his job, he got laid off from a job, and now what he does is he has his own, like, business or company, basically, to speak about. Kind of like a public internet figure of, he kind of really looked into job applications and, you know, things that people do that restrict them from a job, that what recruiters look at. And he basically said, if you just go on Indeed and apply, like, 99% of your applications are not going to be looked at. Like, he directly said. And I've noticed that with, recent experience. Like, I mean, like, Indeed, they post stuff out there. But if it's not a real company where you can apply on the website, like, you're basically just doing shit to make yourself feel better. Like, you know, it's really just like, hey, I did it. It's fake affirmation. Like, I have gotten a job off Indeed, but it's the type of job where it's like, we'll hire anyone, you know. But, you know, basically what I picked up from it is the very, like, your resume and is not really, like, as important as you think it is, except for certain jobs, but, like, it's really about, like, your assertiveness to reach out. You know, everyone kind of knows that stuff. It's really about the things you do outside of the application to get their attention to look. Because otherwise, they're just looking at, it's literally just someone reading words that they know 50% of people fabricate things on their application. So they don't know what to take serious. It's really about, are you going to let them know, like, hey, I'm reaching out. Hey, I just want to let you know I'm really hoping to hear back, blah, blah, blah. And it's very fascinating to just hear that, you know, when people want to talk about millennials, Gen Zs, about, oh, you guys, you know, you guys are ungrateful and shit like that. It really is, like, pretty absurd how much you have to work in today's age to just float and to maintain. You get your hours of your life taken away. You have to work absurdly more to make up for absurd extra charges to live these days. And it's the expectation, like, a lot of jobs, you're either like 15 hours or 55. When you look at these jobs, like, it's a lot of, hey, part-time. A lot of jobs are either stingy on hours or they're going to give you all the fucking hours. There's a reason why they're giving you all the fucking hours. All right. But yeah, it's crazy out here. This job market stuff is not real. It really is not. Like, when you really look at it, like, how many times you go to places and you see hiring interviews happening? Like, it really got me thinking, like, you know, you go to a lot of places. There's people that work there. They either do something to get the job. But the number one thing he said, and it's like, and I hate hearing it, because I always want to get something based off merit. I want to apply for a job and go through the process, be considered, interview, and, like, you know, that's my, like, I don't want a job because someone knew someone. He's like, the reality is, it's a world where people don't really want to hire people they're not at least aware of, or where there's at least a attachment to someone in the company, because that person has incentive to recommend someone good. Because if they recommend someone that was lazy, shit, or whatever, that's a reflection on them. And then that they have to look at that person different. So it's a domino effect. So, like they said in this 5 minutes of the interview I saw, it was, it's still about who you know. And going back to Joy Taylor of who you know. nah. But you know, if you know, you know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What happened to Tasha K, you know? She used to have that wine show. Cardi B sued her. She was still doing the show after a while. But you know, it's weird how, like, after lawsuits, people don't bounce back. I'm sure she's still doing well. I'm sure she's still making a living. But it just seems like, you know, some things, maybe I'm just not in that type of sphere on the internet, but, like, I haven't heard news about her in a while. She's supposed to be the gossip, giving information out queen, but I guess she's not, because you only need Tasha K. Cardi B and Offset will put out themselves, you know? And people are, like, commenting, like, you guys realize they're literally arguing on Twitter with each other while they're in the same house on different floors. It is pretty insane. Yeah, man. You know, that's why you shouldn't idolize celebrities and stuff like that. You know, it's really a dystopian, unreal world. Like, making money to, you know, take care of your family is good and all. You know, all that stuff is great, but all the shit that y'all are doing, like, it really is, when you think about it, like, the trade-off is, we are giving you this money because a lot of people are going to be so self-inflicting. It's going to cause them so many problems in this life. Self-sabotage, self-destructing people with divorces and unfortunate things happen. All that money that they're getting from, you know, these studios, these labels, whatever, it's going to go right back into the business of Hollywood LA, from lawyers to funerals to drugs. You know, it's a cycle. And that's really, like, what the money is for. It's basically just to cover your bases when you have your inevitable, you know, freak out, your downfall, right? Like, I just find it hard to believe, right? Like, I just don't believe that 90% of people that enter into the famous, you know, Hollywood celebrity musician lifestyle. I have a hard time believing that 90% of them just went in already kind of fucked up. Like, yeah, people may be a little odd, but people don't go off the rails when things are going that well in their life. Like, typically, if you're making that great, like, things are stable. Things are good. The self-destruction happens because of the cycle of everything that comes with it. Like, that shit, regardless if you believe in selling your soul, devils, demons, those environments create the worst out of people, the most stress. And it really becomes a business. It really becomes this everything sacrificed to the point, like, but the time demands of what it takes. It's going to be very hard to raise a family as a father or a mother. It's going to be very hard to be a present father or daughter, or father or mother, especially father. It's going to be very hard to really, you know, I know it sounds, it's going to be really hard to be faithful, you know. And that's the thing with, like, celebrity and money is, like, in those inevitable things when you can't be a great father, you can't be a great husband, you could provide money, but at what cost? You're never home. When you're traveling and you're on these sets, or when you're traveling to Belgium to do some fucking movie for, you know, 8 weeks, that's not normal. And that's why I like military airline pilots. Which, by the way, I saw the movie Sully. You know, I remember that movie happened and, like, people kind of shitted on it. I don't know. I thought it was fine. You know, I will say the ending where they actually show, like, the real people that are on the plane. And then Sully, like, in this aviation deck, this corridor, like, home base. And they were all, like, doing it for the movie. Like, not that they had anything weird against each other, but, like, it was definitely awkward. You definitely tell it was like, all right, Sully, say, you know, speak to the people. And he's like, I just want to say, without that fortunate day, there would be no y'all, or whatever, some weird shit. It was kind of odd. I always say, just fast forward to the end of Sully if you don't want to watch the movie, but it's a pretty good movie. But yeah, it's just like, all right, man, like, they definitely souped it up a little bit, like, making this man, like, have PTSD going to these meetings. I'm like, I don't think anyone really, like, I don't think anyone that worked for the aviation was really like, oh, you caused this wreck. Like, they're like, you know, they're like, oh, you could have made it back, like. Did they really think that? I don't know. They probably dragged that out just to thicken the plot. But yeah. I was at the gym this morning. This is very true. And it was probably like 6, 7, 8 in the morning. That's a pretty wide range. Probably about 8 in the morning. Because it was like CBS This Morning. And Oprah was a guest, but she was with the author, kind of promoting or selling this book. Not that she wrote, but just like, oh, this is part of Oprah's book club. And I was just looking like, this is the definition of a waste of time. Because, like, watching CBS Morning, 3,000 people are going to order that book. Like, even with Oprah attached to it, like, is that really worth, like, the airtime, the money, the time spent you have to spend for that? I kind of felt bad because I'm pretty sure this book is pretty revolutionary. Pretty sure it's interesting. But, you know, credit to the guy for spending time to write the book. But promoting on CBS This Morning is not going to do a whole lot. I hate to break it to you. Yeah, not to be a dick. You know, I hope it works out. But Oprah's not this big, big superstar. You know, she's not. No one is, like, tuning in to whatever Oprah's up to, you know. Not, she doesn't have a fan base or respect or nothing like that, you know. But, you know. So yeah. I gotta say, I guess Justin Timberlake had it coming him. So apparently he had a wardrobe malfunction. I know, you're like, Clint, what the fuck is wrong with you talking about this shit? Well, let's just say the senoritas were not too impressed with what that harness exposed. he wish he had a mirror of embarrassment. Ain't nobody love you like I love you. And she's like, okay. But yeah, apparently the harness exposed JT's bulge. I did not see it. That's not a joke. Like, I just didn't watch the video. But there are people reacting. Specifically ladies. And I will say this. You know, it's always funny. I will, you know, not to make a grandiose, you know, idealistic what is right and what is wrong point. It is pretty funny to me how people are shitting on JT. And, like, the comment sections are ruthless, you know. Basically, because of a bulge through a harness, you know, it could have been cold in there, you know. It could have been uncomfortable. Not every time is it fluffed to the max, you know. It could have been just a bad shot. But apparently, it wasn't the most impressive bulge out there. And people are making these comments about, oh, it's this, that, and the other. And it's like, you know what? If y'all were to have to trade lives with JT, 99.9% of you would take that little bulge. Alright? Like, I'm sorry. A lot of y'all shitting on him in the comments be like, yeah. But he is with Jessica Biel, you know? And that's the crazy part. Is we just find ways, like, we do live in a culture where we just find ways, like, There's a fine line between, like, having fun, not taking yourself too serious, be able to joke around people, but we also, where we seek out for people's flaws or faults or things that aren't that impressive about, you know, like, we are first to, when someone isn't a certain height or someone is, you know, not in shape or someone doesn't have, Or like when a girl has a very flat ass and has no arch, you know. People make it like, they do the memes where like when a girl has like no glutes. You know, typically what happens when you get older, it naturally happens because we're sitting on our ass all day. We're not active, or we kind of, our body positions, if we're not monitoring our spine, if we're not monitoring our posture and stuff, typically like the glutes go away. Or you got to really monitor to make sure you get it back or keep it, prevent injury, you know. People make the memes where it's like of a Mexican Chihuahua dog where it's like they have, where they look like, people are making these, you know, just very mean memes about girls that have no asses or guys that, in this case, JT, I guess, it's not impressive, whatever. And we are always first to just critique and just like go in on people that don't have physical impressiveness, right? And that's it, and it just goes to show, like, it doesn't matter what you accomplish, it doesn't matter how great things you have done, you know, per se, or it doesn't matter, like, people always be like, oh, but you got a big head. Look at this big head. It's like, I mean, my big head pays for your bills, bitch. talking to my kid here. That sounded really bad, but I promise. There's like people like, oh, and they're like, so like, fine with, man, you, your big nose out of here. Oh, you, your ugly ass, you know, this, that, your fat ass. Like, I watch him video, like, and it was like the most like out of touch with this congestion New York thing. I mean, New Yorkers are ruthless. But it was literally, so, alright, like, the guy was doing an interview on, like, a news network, like, one of those TV interviews, like, and he was trying to rationalize on why the congestion fee is good, you know, And look, I don't agree with him, but it was a bigger guy, whatever. This random guy, you hear his voice. He's like, "You fucking fat ass. Get your fat." And he's saying all these things, calling him a fat ass, saying, "You don't give a fuck about people. You fucking fat egg. Shut your fat ass down." You know, calling this guy a fat elephant, all this stuff. The guy enters the frame, the guy saying all the shit, and he's just as big as this guy. You know, and it's like, first of all, lack of awareness, if that's supposed to be an insult. And it's just crazy to me how it's like our first instinct is just to be like as mean to find out what's wrong with people and like double down on that as a rationale to tear people down. We live in this tear down culture. I know yesterday, I know I did a whole video about tearing down, you know, Joy Taylor. But, you know, we're not talking about me. We're talking about everyday people, you know. It's just crazy. It is crazy to me, though. Like, we really need to really start thinking about of how we are. Like, what is our goal when we are, like, exposing these things about people? Right? Like, it doesn't really mean anything. Whatever. The dude has a wife. He has kids. Like, obviously, doesn't matter to her. But then there are people saying, like, "Man, I feel so bad for her." It's like, bad for her. You know, but like, hey, you know what? You go back and do Blade Trinity. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, but my overall point is just, we're just always for like find ways to make people be less than. And, but they're the same ones. If they were in that same position and whatever they're leasing, they would. Their least impressive aspect in themselves, whether that's physically, emotionally, and it was exposed on live TV or something, they would have a mental breakdown, threaten to kill themselves, and then all this stuff, and then be like, the world needs to be more sensitive to mental health and all this shit. But then we do these things to public figures who, it was an accident. The dude wasn't out here just exposing shit. It was a malfunction. But then people say, well, hey, that's what you get for ripping off Janet's. And you're like, well, you know, okay. Well played. All for you. But yeah, I think the wrap up this episode. Yeah, the algorithm hates me. I'm being shadow banned. And, you know, put a harness around my crotch. And let's see what's impressive or not. But yeah, I don't know why I did that. Oh Jesus, it's a wild, wild west out here. WWW, is that what WWW is supposed to be? Wild, wild west. World Wide Web is a really wild, wild west. Probably is. But yeah, that was episode 318 of the Off Me Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, have a good night, morning, evening, and goddamn, I gotta take a leak.